Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Let's hear it for the boys. They're back with the third episode of Gen V as part of season two. I am definitely a boy. I'm Alex.
I'm more of a boy than ever before. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete. I'm a human.
Oh, nice to hear it. And H is
interesting
for human.
Choice, Pete, given the situation.
The title, that's a weird coincidence. It is H is for human of the episode we're talking about. If you haven't watched it on Prime Video, it is the final of the three episodes that are dropping on launch day for season two. Spoilers, ho, we're going to get into it. A lot of stuff is happening this episode. We're dealing with a bunch of human racism on campus as we follow a cafe worker who keeps seeing resist posters being put up and getting terrified by it. Ultimately, Emma ends up investigating that, leading to the reveal that Tail Lady, aka Harper, her power is not tail, as we thought in the first season.
That was fun.
Yeah, but actually she has chameleon powers and is part of a small resistance involving Allie, another member of the resistance, and Emma joins them against Homelander's rule of Godalkin University. But at the same time, it's Thomas Godalkin Day. It's been brought back by Cypher, the new headmaster of the school.
Alex's favorite character.
Not my favorite character, though. I do like the Linklater. I love Hamish Linklater. And Hamish. As Pete and I were talking about before we got on, we do find out a fair more about him, specifically that he is Dr. Gold, the doctor who was there when Marie was born as part of the Odessa Project. What that means, I'm sure we'll get into. And one of the other big things in the episode, there's a lot of relationship stuff going on with Jordan and Marie. We also get Sam completely losing it. Kate is back on campus, but she ain't right, to paraphrase Pete's favorite program, King of the Hill. And not really able to help Sam, so he's going crazy, starting to see puppets again, ends up in a big fight with Jordan, but they settle their beef and end up getting high and watching Avenue V on TV and binging that. And things end in a big way as Jordan gives a speech after being made number one at the university, where they reveal everything about Andre dying, that he died a hero, that Vought murdered the Starlighters, which was blamed instead on the resistance, on the Starlighters, on the resistance, and that she attacked Kate. So big stuff going down here. Again, I'm skipping by so much that happened this episode. This was a wild, packed one. Maybe the place to start is to talk about Cypher, since that seemed to have piqued Pete's interest in particular. What do we think? This is a ongoing mystery here. We also, I should mention, get to see a weird locked safe room that he has in his house.
Yeah, a giant safe. That's always sketchy. Well, what's nice is we get his name, and I'm excited. Maybe next episode we meet Dr. Bomb, and then we found out how Gold Bomb got together. You know what I mean? So that's going to be exciting.
What are you saying here?
Gold Bomb?
What is this weird joke you're doing?
I'm just making a Gold Bomb joke. You know what I mean?
About what?
What's Gold Bomb?
What is Gold Bomb?
Never mind then.
Uh-oh. Let me just say, for the record, I'm going to put this on the record. Uh-oh.
I echo your recorded uh-oh, and I would say, I would add to it, oh no.
Here's the thing about Cypher. I feel like there's probably still more to come here, but it is interesting that he was with Marie back in the day. I'm gonna throw out an early theory at you here is that since we see Cypher as the doctor, I know they don't look anything alike, but I've been very focused on them casting Ethan Slater, who was Bach in Wicked, as Godalkin of Godalkin University. We saw him seemingly die in a fire, but this episode in particular, seeing him as Dr. Gold, which to Pete's very weird point is a weird like pseudonym. We already know he is Cypher, which usually means some sort of a code. And the fact that he brings back Thomas Godolkin Day. What if he is Thomas Godolkin? That's my theory.
What?
That's nice. I do like that. He seems to be aging really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I think he's like an immortal or maybe a vampire or something like that.
It's well, not that interesting. Marie is like, what, 18 years old or something like that?
Yeah, imagine living 18 years. Do you think he's aging
regular?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It was like a blurry view of him.
He's a good-looking man. Yeah, it's great skin care routine, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, he's graying, but who isn't? The thing with it is, like, for your theory to be true, it would mean that he isn't immortal. Because otherwise he would be that same age, right? Or I guess he didn't take the V in the cold open.
Yeah, we don't know. There's definitely like some skip time here, and I don't know how this theory works. The theory is mostly based on the fact that Ethan Slater and Hamish Linklater both have frizzy hair, even though they're different colors. And I'm like, maybe there's something going on there. But there's certainly still an ongoing mystery about these characters, so I guess we'll see.
I agree with you. I mean, I took it as, and I guess you're right, it is only like 18 years, but I was like, this guy looks the same.
Yeah. but on a TV timeline where there are currently 20-somethings and probably 30-somethings playing teenagers on this very TV show, I think we could be a little waffly about how Hamish Linklater looks over the course of 18 years, personally.
That's fair. Maybe they should have given him like some cool 90s threads.
Oh, yeah.
I guess not even early aughts, like, really. Or it should be.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say dress him like Vanilla Ice, but you're right. Our timeline is off because we old.
Yeah. No, I look back at pictures of me, and I look the same as I do now. I think I'm Dr.
We've aged very well. I mean, if you look at podcasts from... I've been looking back at a lot of podcasts from, like, during the beginning of the pandemic, and we definitely look the same.
The beauty of our life choices is we have evidence of us aging. Like, we have weekly evidence of us aging for last like 15 years.
Yeah, you can actually put screenshots from like the beginning of the pandemic from our first podcast when we were streaming live to right now in a dermatologist's office in the front and be like, don't let your skin get like this.
Yeah, exactly. We're like not before and after, but after and even longer after. Yeah. And honestly, we could just do a full anamorph of us just turning into husks.
But I do think, getting back to the dean of it all a little bit here, I do think that the fact that he is not only kind of like almost like a father figure, like the way he interacts with Marie, it's not somebody, it seems, who isn't pulling for her. You know what I mean? Like, there is this interesting, like, weird relationship, evil relationship for sure, but he's also not trying to sabotage her. You know, he's helping her train. He's talking to her about like cutting and trying to come over her power. So it's a weirder relationship because I keep waiting for it to be like, okay, what's his evil plan? You know, like if he's just old and into safes, I don't know if that's enough. So there's got to be something going. I mean, who has a safe and then is casual about it being open and then people walking around? You know what I mean?
Maybe he's really careful with his groceries.
We need Geraldo in the case, is what we need to bring him in, have him open the safe, see what's inside. That's a
Geraldo great at opening safes, not great at having it be meaningful.
That's very true. I did think of one more evidence for my theory about Thomas Godolkin. Gold Godolkin. Like, they're very similar. In fact, the letters of gold are in the name Godolkin. So, I don't know. We'll see.
That's good too. It's again pretty casual. A good case. It's not a case that would win any trial in any court in any country, I would
or on a podcast. But yeah,
or even on a podcast. But yeah. I think you could be right. I think either way, to Pete's point, he definitely has father like feelings when he's talking to Marie, especially in this episode when they're in the danger room. And I get, you know, I'm calling it the danger room. It's very much like a bent Professor X situation, I feel like, here. And that's interesting. Like, he's set up as a pretty intense villain. He has the whole blender hand moment with Kate in the first episode, I think. Yep. So, like, he has not nice cred, but I don't know what that means. This show and The Boys is always about taking our expectations and twisting them twice at minimum. So I feel like we're going to get a twist to the positive for Cypher before we go back to some end point of negative.
I just want to bounce out of that because I really like the Professor X comparison, because something that the World of the Boys consistently did back to the comics is take these comic book characters and exaggerate them for effect. And we did have a Professor X X-Men team here, but if I remember correctly, I don't think it was Gen V. I think it was another team in the Boys, and I could look it up after this, but like, taking teen school and giving it an exaggerated Professor X, who was always pushing his students and did always have, throughout the history of the comics, sort of like murky kind of bad things that he did in the background, and yeah, pushing that further makes a lot of sense. And not to be like very focused on names here in this episode, but an X is a Cypher as well. Like, that is a stand in for something else. So, I just say, like, maybe that was some of the thought in the room. I think you're right on the money. The writer's room specifically, not the danger room.
Yeah. The writer's room's so dangerous.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I also wanted to throw out there, since we're talking about it now, I did really like sticking with the idea of Marie cutting herself and comparing it to self-harm, which was a large part of our conversation around her in the first season, and not letting that go, sort of even as this character continues pursuing that particular plotline, because anybody who does deal with self-harm, it's a lifeline thing. It's not like you go through experiences, you're cured, you're good to go. It's something you're constantly going to be struggling with. So allowing that metaphor to continue, I think, is very laudable.
Well, and even beyond that, I was thinking watching this, and especially with Emma as well, so many of these characters, their powers are rooted in like trauma, self-harm, like at the outset of the show. But it feels like over the course of the first season and into this season, they've evolved that, and it's not so like basic a premise. The characters have been able to be full people at the same time. But like you're saying, Alex, I do like that they're holding on to that and showing like almost like, hey, there's a better way, which is, I think, a way that you work with people who are using self-harm to react to the bad things in their lives, the traumas in their lives. And I think it feels like she's actually maybe about to seek treatment in a way, or be treated.
Yeah, the growth that we've seen in the characters is impressive, and especially in this episode where Marie is kind of panicking before she goes to Pam, into Pam's home, and she's like, you know, kind of questioning herself, and then kind of opens up the knife, and then kind of is like, no, this isn't the move. So yeah, it's I'm glad that they're kind of still showing the struggle and still kind of you know, they just haven't just forgot about it and moved on. So it's nice.
Yeah, there's a lot more stuff going on with Marie, like you started to touch on, Pete, in terms of her finding out about her past. She furthermore finds out she was conceived thanks to a fertility clinic at Godalkin. She discovers Adabeth's bedroom, which is a big deal as well. So lots of stuff.
We get a lot of answers, not all the answers, but we definitely get a lot of answers in this episode. I really like this episode. You know, we get to kind of see why Sam always pictures everything as kind of like a Muppet cartoon show type of thing. Like, it's nice to get the origin of that as well. So, you know,
it was like, I feel like this episode did sort of like land a couple of the ongoing mini mysteries while it just set up the next round of them. Staying on Marie though, I thought the time with Pam was really good, especially the speech. Like, I love the revelation that she was conceived at this Godalkin clinic, not for money, but because they couldn't have a kid otherwise. I thought that was, you could see it really affect her.
Yeah.
And that led right into her speech where she's like, when she found out that Annabeth had been hidden from her by Pam, that she's like, hey, I didn't do this. I thought this was, it's hard in any situation when you're having an argument to really make your point well. And man, the writing of that speech just nailed it so hard. I was like, perfect scene. Well played by Marie. I thought that was great.
Yeah, you really do. A lot of times in an argument situation, it's just one person kind of venting and there's no real movement of the needle there. But it really felt like a great discussion, even though it did get very heated. I agree with you on that.
Yes, I also agree, as we are not arguing here, but yeah, the writing was really nuanced. Like, I expected it to be a blow up at any point, like that classic just teen drama thing of a teen being like, how dare you? You have ruined me. And then she goes away, has a conversation with somebody else. She's like, you know what? I've come to a realization. But they condensed it all into the scene and had her, both her and Pam allowed to have those hurt feelings and live with those hurt feelings while also hearing the other person's viewpoint, like we're saying. So, but,
and also playing with this idea of like, you know, like, oh yeah, I have pictures. I'm like, oh, what's going to be the picture? What's going to be the one that really kind of gives us what we need? And they also teed that up. Yeah. Alice's Guy Seif.
Alice's Guy Seif. Let me ask you this. How do you think Pam's book club Zoom went?
Oh man. Probably
right after.
Yeah, you get some wine, you talk books. What's not to love?
I don't know. She was probably distracted. There was probably some point halfway through they were like, Pam, you haven't really contributed too much.
We should have more of that Zoom call in the episode because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Follow up question. Do you think it was a book club Zoom thing? Do you think it was a comic book club Zoom thing? Like, in this world, is she guesting? Did we book Pam?
That's crazy.
We booked Pam on our show.
Pam. If Pam ever wants to come on this podcast, I would love to have her on. I would love to just like pick her brain on books and pictures, living in an apartment. I know I misspoke earlier, but like, what's it like to go into Annabeth's bathroom as well as her bedroom? Because she did use that bathroom.
We got the bedroom, but you clearly want to hear about the bathroom.
Yeah, I do.
You think she's got her own bathroom there?
No, she doesn't have her own bathroom, but like, I think we could. It was Annabeth and Pam's bathroom. Is that fair?
Nice.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and same at my house. I put a sign above whose bathroom it is, just to be clear. This is where they say don't shit where you eat, but how can you prove it unless you have your name on the sign above the door?
The sign's not on the kitchen, so come on.
It's exactly. That's how you stop yourself from making that, what I'm going to call a mistake.
If we can kind of transition away from this, speaking a little bit of like struggles with thing, there's a funny moment with Emma where she was kind of talking to the Andre's father and was like, yeah, no, I don't usually puke. This is actually progress for me. Was kind of a interesting, fun moment there where it sounds horrible, but she is making progress. And when she kind of touches the chameleon and is so impressed with how the chameleon can use her powers, you know, that was also a fun moment as well.
Yeah,
I think there's a little less on the Emma disordered eating storyline here, but same as with the Marie thing, I appreciate them at least touching on it. And my assumption is it is something they will continue to touch on and play with throughout the season. Because to be honest, like, this show has been away long enough that I kind of forgot about that, particularly in the first two episodes, because it didn't really mention it. So it was nice seeing it back again and her referring to it as they continue to go on these journeys. What?
I can't forget these things, man. Come on.
Oh
wow.
I'm so sorry.
Pete.
Wow.
Pete dropping a bit of a gold bomb on Alex right there.
Yeah, dude, come on. You guys never use gold bomb? You know, the powder?
No,
the,
I don't.
That's gold bond.
I don't know
it's
what
gold
this
bond.
Is. Gold bond? Is that what you're referring to? Gold
yes.
bond?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I messed it up, but what are you
going to
do?
That's what I thought.
You got to be able to speak my language to understand. So
I got you. All right. I got you. I eventually got there.
I'm glad we established that, and not that it was anything else that I thought you were referring to.
Talking on Emma, how do we feel about her becoming the like catalyst for upping the game for Harper and Allie's mini revolution here? They're going to do something fucked up.
They are, but I'm actually excited to see this because, like, we've seen generic, here's how the entire campus feels right now so far in this show, but seeing campus revolution, campus rebellion, like, that's kind of part of the college experience, and they haven't explored it on this show. So seeing some sort of homegrown rebellion, particularly for these three people that have kind of janky powers, I think should be interesting. So,
well, chameleon powers are pretty, you know, I mean, that's like
those are good powers. Yeah. And I guess we don't know about Allie. But like,
The way they set up chameleon's power, Harper's powers, I thought was like, oh, this is going to become important later. They really took their time to be like, here's how it works, here's how long it works, and she's pretty good at it. So I think she's going to probably end up going out in a bang somehow, doing something cool.
Or getting on the rankings or something. But I do think that, like, getting back to your point a little bit, Emma kind of being like, sabotage, let's do this, like, let's amp it up. It's a fun kind of team, and It was fun to see Emma kind of like track them down and that whole thing, even though that locker room scene was there was a lot
of like the Norma Schlong like Emma did, Pete.
I just think, you know, there was scenes in this episode where you're just like, do we need this? Do we
Pete likey or Pete no likey?
I, you know, hey, if you're into that, great. You know what I mean?
Do you think, I mean, just to throw it out there, I probably could have checked the credits. Do you think that was Love Sausage's son? Maybe, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Could be.
Sort of, yeah. The
the long schlong the guy from The Boys.
I know.
I'm clarifying for our listeners. He's the character who could control his prehensile dick.
Yeah, you're talking about like a love cocktail wiener.
Yeah, we're not talking about the butt hidey hole guy. We're talking about
not the guy who has the guy crawl out of his butt. In this episode, I'm talking about Love Sausage, the character who has beef with mother's milk, particularly.
Yes, we're all saying nouns. I think we're saying nouns. I think we're saying nouns.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Emoji moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ammit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Here's one thing I was very surprised about with the Resistance storyline here is I expected, based on the, like, very terrifying reaction at the beginning of the episode with the poster keep going up and the human who works at the cafe being terrorized by this, that this was somebody pranking her, like somebody being like, haha, we're going to get you.
I thought it was just for the free muffins. You know what I mean? Like that guy had, was running the whole thing just so he could get, you know.
Sure. But the thing that was weird to me about the second half or at least third of this storyline is like it led up to this human is being terrorized by this. This is bad for her and is going to lead to her getting killed at this university. Emma helps her out. And as soon as Emma discovers the resistance, she's like, cool, forgot about that human.
Yeah.
So we got to loop back to that at some point, I guess. But it was a weird arc for that storyline, I felt. We didn't get any resolution there at the end
it's
of the episode.
It's going to pay off later, hopefully.
Maybe, yeah. It certainly could.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, 17 muffins is a sweet order.
It is.
do you think maybe the revolution could start to communicate through really artfully designed...
Well, it can't be televised,
foam.
So it has to.
Foam.
Yeah, it has
that's what
to
I'm
go
saying. So it's cappuccino foam is how we communicate.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great idea.
Sort of a one if by land, two if by sea situation, yeah. But with like a clover.
That's what I do at my cafe job. Is I always put like little messages, and then I'll lead over and be like, "Resist," and they'll be like,
"You
this
wish
is a
you
block.
Had a cafe job.
This is a horrible job. I do.
We Whoa, should open a coffee for me. Yeah." Oh, man. Another gold bomb dropped on Alex.
Anyway, what else in the episode? Lots of other things going on. Let's talk about the Jordan-Sam storyline going on here because they intersect at a certain point. Sam, on the spectrum of like dealing with the person's deep-seated trauma, is probably the most played for jokes in this episode just based on the puppets, which... I don't know. Good puppets. They were fun.
Great puppets. Nice love the sandwich. I love when I'm going about my business and everything puppets up for me. That's
when
you know the days about
that. That was a rude sandwich, though. That sandwich was really digging
into. You're saying you wouldn't eat it?
Eat a talking sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would eat that sandwich.
That's a good way to shut them up.
I love a rude sandwich. Somebody shut that sandwich up with their mouth.
Take care of it. Yeah, exactly.
Is that when you bite, like if you bite into a talkie sandwich mouth first, is that technically like kissing the sandwich because you're putting your mouth on its mouth?
No. Nope.
Yeah, it's like Frenching. The ultimate Frenching is to put a sandwich right down your throat.
Yeah. And that's why that's where the name French's mustard comes from.
Yeah, exactly. Really good. I like that Pete goes into a Subway to get his normal order. He says, hey, I'm about to silence an entire meatball sub. Set me up. I'm going to shut that effer down.
Give me the censorship special.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yes, I like this. It was fun to see the puppets back. I do hope they kind of like move on from it because, like I said last season, the puppets felt like a slightly more minimal version of the cartoons they had already done with Black Noir. So as fun as it is to see those effects, I kind of want to move on and figure out something new for Sam. And it feels like they are, based on the bonding going on with Jordan there.
And it was great to see Black Noir in the kind of puppets cartoon.
Yeah, we get to see Black Noir on The Deep.
The Deep's been in every episode of this show so
yes,
far.
They love The Deep.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're in agreement with Justin. Deep is a glorious character.
Deep's a great character. Are they just trying to get him paid?
Maybe.
Because he's not doing a ton of plot stuff. He's just like cameo on cameo.
Did you guys catch the stinger talking about how she lost her virginity to the Deep on the bench when they were walking by?
No, I didn't catch that. That's funny.
Yeah,
And also, we find out that she will die if she sings somebody. So I think that really doubles down on what you're saying, Justin. She dead by the end of the season. That is 100% Chekhov stinger.
Yeah, that was a fun line where it's like, do you want to die? Me either. You know, so.
Talking about the Sam Jordan stuff, do you feel like we're going to get sort of is there a love triangle about to happen?
Stop
here?
With your. As soon as I saw that, I was like, Justin wants a love triangle.
No, I definitely love it. Like it.
It's super interesting.
I thought they were going to hook up in that scene. And instead, we got this arc of Marie confessing that she lost her virginity to Jordan. Jordan ultimately says, I love you, back to Marie after she accidentally says it after hooking up.
Well, but here's the thing. The timing of that is interesting, where you've got Jordan. We see the Jordan-Sam scene. We cut out of that before they bid each other adieu. And then we have Jordan going up to Marie and being like, hey, I love you. I love you. So I do feel like that's perhaps the gender split there started to become even more of a personality split. And we get that again in the speech where the male presenting Jordan is sort of just towing the line. Female presenting Jordan comes up and we get like bombs dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, we also see it throughout the kind of episode where like when Jordan's having problems with communicating feelings, it's, you know, the dude version. And so, yeah, it's interesting, cool kind of thing to play with.
Definitely is. And I agree with you. I definitely got like a little bit of the teen drama setting up sparks between them thing that may cause a complication for Jordan and Marie, but we'll see how it pans out. What about Kate? We don't get like a ton of her in this episode, but she does come back to campus and we do get, I don't think it's an amnesia storyline, but it certainly seems like maybe she can't talk or something like that, which is going to hold back on that information about them attacking her.
Well, yes. I think it's just she's kind of like, she doesn't have her powers, so she's really lost. But luckily, she has a lot of beautiful headwear at the ready. So,
Beautiful. You mean the emo phase? She's
got the Scully, in white and black, she's got scarf stuff going on. Like, she's got options,
I think that's to hide how her head is literally broken.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's exclusively a fashion
choice. Just saying, that happens to somebody else, they might not be as ready,
Nice.
Yeah. But I do, her and Emma scene, when she, grabbed Emma's wrist and was like, I know. What the fuck are you guys doing? That was terrifying and fun. So,
cool. I guess I mean, it feels like she is so broken that she's not both in her powers and maybe mentally due to the head wound that, she's not able to do what she would normally do. But we do get that great twist at the end with Jordan confessing that she attacked Kate. And I think that's a thing. Like, they cut to Kate at that moment, and she looks kind of surprised and pleased. And I think that's maybe how they, like, bring them back into the fold. Like, you were talking, Justin, about how do we get this team back together by the end. And I think that goes at least part of the way to winning back Kate, even though she's the monster, so I don't know how you reconcile those two things.
Well, and also we get the moment in the danger room where Kate's eavesdropping on Cypher talking to Marie. So I think there's something there where she's going to be operating either to help that Marie situation or to harm it. So I think that'll be a big indicator on how much Kate's going to be involved in heroics.
And then Alex's favorite character and Kate talking, and she's just, you know, he's like, hey, listen, get your shit together. You know, you're useless to us unless you got your powers.
And that's what I say to you guys as a pep-up speech before we do every podcast, right? By powers, I mean talking.
Yeah.
The ultimate.
You got to work on your pep talks before our podcast.
What do we think about this guy who's putting stuff up his ass? Because he showed up in every episode as well. They're giving him a lot of time in this season.
Well, and he's got a lot of space in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, every college has an ass guy, right? I mean, you know, that's
just a classic. You were so concerned by Cypher's open safe. What do you think about the open asshole this guy's got? Because I think that's just as much of a storage
space. I got to throw out that maybe they connect to each other. Maybe
that's what I was going to say. You know, the similarities are endless.
Hey, so I'm just going to head out the back door of the safe. Don't go out there!
It's a total Coraline situation where you crawl into the safe and come out an asshole.
And yeah, it's like being John Malkovich, buns for eyes? Except you end up crawling out of downstairs mouth.
What else? We got a brief glimpse of the flipped poster for the movie Sam and Kate were in, which is exactly the Freaky Friday poster, which I thought was very funny. Yeah. I also, we talked about this a little bit the last episode, but I liked Jordan clarifying that they are not trans, they're bi-gender. I thought that was just a good thing to say out loud. And obviously that plays with the it's transtastic thing by the end of the episode as well. What else? Any other notes from the episode?
I was surprised by the crowd reaction. You know what I mean? It seemed like the crowd was like, yeah, you're awesome. And then she's like, let me tell you the truth. And they're like, boo, don't give us the truth. Keep feeding us lies. What are you doing?
Well, like we've been talking about here, I think they are really playing up the idea of this is a conservative university this season. Last season, it was much more of a liberal university, but conservative forces through Homelander have risen in this America, and that's what the university is reflecting as well. So, like, they were partying when the Starlighters were killed. To find out that Vought is, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the truth, and they're going to continue to ignore the truth and warp reality the way they want it to be, just like a lot of conservative forces are doing in the United States right now.
There you go.
There you go.
That's how this show is able to react somehow over and over again to the present world.
Alex, what did you think of Cypher's Angelina Jolie comparison?
I agree that it was a little dated, but I appreciate it.
Oh, okay.
Alex, you're our Cypher. You were there when we were both born.
Yep.
So
I have the pictures to prove it.
Yeah, I'm a real Dr. Goldbomb, I guess, is what's going on here. Right, Pete?
It's fun to hear you say it.
Definitely not. Still makes me
feel weird. Makes sense. You've infected us with nonsense again.
Why don't we wrap up our nonsense on this episode and talk about what we are looking forward to now next week. We've gotten past the first three episodes in this chunk. And now the episodes are going to come out one a week. So what do we expect is going to happen, or what do we want to happen in episode 4?
Well, just real quick, the three-episode drop, I think, we really like. I like the way Amazon does this. It really works. It was interesting, these three episodes, to sum it up, we had, like, big revelations throughout. This episode was the most, like, okay, let's do all the – it's a table setting. Let's get everything right where we want it, and then we have the big Jordan reveal at the end there. But, like, this episode specifically was very much like, okay, everything settled into a place. And now I think they're about to upset the board again. So my prediction for 4 is we're going to see some fallout from Jordan's speech. They're going to be back under fire. Jordan, number 1, is going to fall precipitously in the rankings, I think. and what that means for the team. Relationships, I feel like, are ready to be upset, like the Sam Jordan thing, Jordan Marie, Sam Emma, like everything's
Jordan Marie positioned. Is solid, bro. How dare you?
In a way, but I do think there's going to be the powers of Jordan are going to create an emotional standoff, I think, if it's true that Jordan is going to have a relationship with Sam. So that's interesting. That puts Emma in play. Polarity, we didn't talk about him, but he has an interesting place here. He's in the episode a fair amount for someone that is sort of not really on the team. So I think that's going to continue to grow.
They check in with him, which is great. Yeah, I like that a lot. And hopefully that continues.
So I guess to sum it up, I say this next episode is going to be about tipping the board back into chaos.
Ooh. Sabotage, as Anna likes to say. I hope we get more of the Annabeth, you know, Marie's sister there. And also, yeah, I want to kind of get inside the Dean's head and see what Alex's favorite character is really all about.
Why, Alex?
You said your favorite character is Cypher. All right,
in the X-Men, it's a different Cypher. That's Doug Ramsey.
Is it Alex?
Is it?
I don't know. If we find out it's the same character, I will be elated. I mean, we're all waiting for Cypher of the X-Men to be brought to screen. We knew if there was a New Mutants 2, that's what it was all leading up to.
Cypher, don't get gassed.
A lot of revelation about Cypher.
Yeah, I do want to say on the Annabeth note, we had speculated in the first episode that she was searching for Annabeth and it would never happen again in this season and that we'd hook up with it next season. So I do think it's actually kind of great that they are keeping with that plot line.
That is great.
And I agree with Pete. I want to see more of that as we go on, and I expect we will. I also wanted to note on what you said, Justin, I thought it was interesting about the 3-episode drop, because I agree with you. I like Amazon's schedule of being like, you can binge. Now we have another couple of episodes. I wish the seasons were longer with that, because being like, you can binge 3 episodes and now there's just 5 more weeks versus 10 more weeks is a bit of a bummer to me. But to the point that you're saying, I feel like, and maybe I'm misremembering, but the boys always seem to write towards that they had like, first 3 episodes feel like a little mini movie here, and now kicking into high gear next episode. This, I almost feel like they could have stopped with episode 2 with the Odessa reveal of Marie, left us on that, and then gone to the weekly schedule.
Yeah, this episode felt very much like that second episode of a regular season where it's like, just putting this, the pilot's big and noisy, and then the second episode is like, okay, we got to do a little work here, eat some vegetables, and get ready for the next build. That's what this episode felt like, as opposed to, like you're saying, the bang out, big explosion climax at the end of what we expect.
I agree. I think that, you know, the best way to kind of do the drops is do like a 1-2 in the beginning and then go to a regular. Because Wednesday did like a half and half drop, and it was like you got used to the first half, and then you kind of forgot about the second half. So, yeah, I agree that it's...
Netflix is a whole other thing, but I think like... either have the shows tailor it to the drop you're doing or tailor the drop to the shows, one of the two. And I think either of this is okay, but you need to lead into what your show, how it's going to work, how people are actually going to watch it versus like, I think most of these streamers think about it as, yeah, we got these 8 episodes. People will watch it later or catch up later, which is accurate, but we're certainly watching it week to week, and a lot of other people are as well. But that all said, just in terms of the content, I wanted to echo that like, this is an obvious one, but excited to see what the fallout is of Jordan's speech there at the end. Not just for Jordan, but also the Kate thing. It really intrigues me. And what Cypher is, my favorite character, is going to do now that all of this has been exposed. Does that blow up his plans? Does that change everything that's happening? It is like... I think that is a big game changer, maybe not on the level of where we left in episode 2, but it should be interesting to see
and
how it
to Justin's out. Point, like we've talked about the deep almost every episode. We got to see the deep, right? I mean,
yeah.
See him do stuff.
Yeah. Maybe he's halfway between safe and asshole at this point.
Right. Right.
Like most of us. Like most of us in America, you know what I'm talking about?
What a spectrum. Yeah. And we also, you know, end this next episode with a bang. Like, let's see Pam's Zoom book club.
Oh,
what are they reading?
Come on,
is it a
dude,
summer read? Is it a beach book? Is it something with a little
also,
more
Also, do
heft?
They drink while discussing? You know
this
what I mean?
Is digital. Like, release it as another series. We want a weekly Pam's book club. Cool.
Yes.
Exactly. That's the extension, the social extension that'll make this show pop. Yes. I want to see their emotional
and know
takes.
What book's coming so we can read and be ready for the book club. I mean, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
If they're getting into Hamnet, holy shit, tears are going to be flowing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, not to puncture this little joke, but if they did an in-universe book club for the books that they've already released in The Boys and Gen V, that'd be great. Just saying.
You're in.
Bezos, listen to us. I know you got some downtime since you just got married.
Don't say his name three times.
On your honeymoon, work on this book club idea we just pitched you.
Yep.
You're in charge of this show, right?
And if you'd like to support our book club, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the world of The Boys. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow this show and others. Comicbookclublive.com. And until next time, boys, we're going to keep hearing from them week after week.
That's right. And we're going to bond together, the three of us. Like three precious nuggets of gold bonded together. Right, Pete?
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.